death. And I don't mean something that's like a quick fix pill. And I don't mean just life in this world, preventing all those aches and pains and sags and lumps and bumps, loss of hair, things like that. No, I'm talking about something miraculous. And this is what our Lord offers to us in the gift of the Holy Eucharist. Think of the words that our Lord speaks in the Gospel today. Remember, we're still journeying through that sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, the Bread of Life Discourse. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." These words, spoken here in the Gospel, are fulfilled at the Last Supper. There at the Last Supper, our Lord offers his Passover. Yes, it commemorates the Passover of the Old Testament when, by God's command, Moses sacrificed the Passover lamb, painted the doorposts, the lintel with the blood, the angel of death passed over the homes, protected by the blood, but took the lives of the firstborn unprotected. Because of that sacrifice, the Jews were set free from slavery, and they traveled to the Passover lamb. But our Lord is also celebrating his Passover, when he, as the Lamb of God, is going to free us from the slavery of sin and open the gates of heaven, the true promised land. So at the Last Supper, our Lord takes bread and wine. He offers the prayer to the Father, he blesses him, and he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." With the same efficacious words by which our Lord could heal the blind man, the cripple, the woman with the hemorrhages, or feed the thousands with multiplying the loaves and the fish, or raise Lazarus from the dead, or exorcise demons, with the same efficacious word, our Lord miraculously changed bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. He was truly sharing his divine life with his apostles. The next day, our Lord, as priest, offered himself as that Lamb of God on the altar of the cross. There his body hung, his blood was spilt to forgive our sins and to reconcile us with the Father. This, though, is not a death-rendering sacrifice. Our Lord rose from the dead, conquering sin, suffering, death, and even evil itself. Evil can never win. Our Lord opened the gates of heaven, and with the ascension, he has prepared a place for each of us who live. But how beautiful it is, then, that this lives on. So this isn't just a one-time event. At the Last Supper, Jesus said to his apostles, the first priests, "Do this in remembrance of me." And that's what we do. So at this Mass, the priest who shares in that priesthood of Christ through the sacrament of holy orders offers the sacrifice that sacramentally represents the ever-living reality of our Lord's sacrifice, his resurrection, his ascension. We do remember what happened at the Last Supper. And so, soon, the priest takes bread and wine. He pronounces the words of consecration. Keep in mind, when he does so, he is shifting from third person to first, from past tense to present tense, because Christ is speaking the words through him. So those words of consecration are efficacious. At those words, bread and wine are transubstantiated into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Granted, what we call the characteristics, the accidents, technically, meaning shape, color, size, taste, smell, and so on, those things don't change. Still looks, tastes like bread and wine. But what it is, the substance, that changes. So under the form of bread and wine, our Lord truly is giving himself to us. his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Consider how beautiful this is, that our Lord loves us so much, he comes to be with us, to enter into our own lives. So all of us here, when we're receiving Holy Communion, know Christ comes to share our joys, our sorrows, our sufferings, our challenges, whatever it is. He's coming to share our life and give us the nourishment that we need. I think of the first reading, poor Elijah, the prophet, who lived 800 years before our Lord, was just so worn out from being the prophet. And now there were those trying to kill him. He says, Lord, take my life. I'm so tired. I'm worn out. And what comes? The angel brings him the bread. Now we have the heavenly bread. We have Christ. Christ comes to feed us. What more could we ask for? This is why in the very early church, the Eucharist was called viaticum. Now, we use that term technically for the last communion a person makes before death. But the idea was that the Roman soldiers had viaticum, meaning they gathered the food and water that they needed to sustain their journey, maybe into battle, wherever. Well, that idea is that the Holy Eucharist is our food for the journey of our life. Christ comes to us. He walks with us. He shares his life with us. And we share ours with him, not only through this life, to everlasting life. Keep in mind, though, that this isn't some kind of magic pill. When we receive communion, it's not like popping an Anacin or a Tylenol or something like that. It just works. We have to open our hearts. That's the key. You and I need to open our lives and give our love to Christ. For instance, if a person walked up the aisle and received communion without any sense of faith, nothing's going to happen. How can the grace penetrate? If an atheist walked up the aisle, albeit illicitly, received communion, nothing's going to happen. If a person's in a state of mortal sin and has that hardened heart that has killed the sanctifying grace, nothing's going to happen. We have to open our hearts to Christ. How else can he dwell there and make a home in our lives and share that grace? So with that, we should pause regularly and ask ourselves, how well are we preparing to receive Jesus? He's coming to us. Are we opening our lives to him? So I encourage you, take the time as you're preparing for Sunday Mass to make a confession regularly. That's a good practice. But then also to come here with the real intent, I'm here to worship God. I'm not here to be entertained. I'm not here to check off a box. I am here to give my time, this hour of the week, to Almighty God on his day when we celebrate the resurrection. Also, try to come early, to settle down. We live lives that are too busy, too rushed. So try to come early, to settle down, put yourself in the presence of the Lord. As Mass unfolds, be sure to sing, to pray, to follow the readings, to participate. Granted, we all face distractions. I do. But we get rid of those, and we focus. Then, having received the Lord, we pause to give real thanks. And this is a good time to just quietly think of his presence. And also to share our life, whatever it may be, with him, and ask him to walk with us during this life. And when we go out, as St. Paul said, not back to being pagans, but mindful of being Christians. In our second passage, St. Paul said, we remove the bitterness, the fury, the anger, the shouting, and reviling. And instead, we strive to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving, to live our faith. You know, as a priest standing up here or at the altar, I see sometimes people reading the bulletin or people texting. Sometimes people leave Mass early, like Judas did. And I'm like, they don't get it. They really don't get what they're doing. It's sort of like the Jews in the Gospel. They've seen the miracle. They've seen all kinds of miracles. And yet they then say, when Jesus teaches, well, isn't this the Son of Joseph? Don't we know his parents? No, they didn't know. They really did not know. And so, maybe some people really don't know what the Mass is about. How sad. Because only when we know in that deeper level sense of like a friendship, intimacy, can we really know how beautiful this Mass and the gift of the Eucharist is. Besides the Mass, though, I would encourage you to try to take time during the week to come here when it's quiet, especially on Thursday when we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, and sit here and pray for maybe 15 minutes. Make almost like an appointment, like you would for a dentist or a doctor. But come here and quietly pray. This is a time to just settle, to be with our friend, Jesus, to share our life, and to receive his love into our lives. Pope St. John Paul II, who spent 1 hour a day, at least, in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, said, "It is pleasant to spend time with him, to lie close to his breast, like the beloved disciple St. John, and to feel the infinite love present in his heart. How can we not feel a need to spend time in spiritual conversation, in silent adoration, in heartfelt love before Christ present in the most blessed sacrament? How often I have experienced this and drawn from it strength, consolation, and support." Another beautiful story goes back to the time after the fall of Vietnam to the communists. Many of us remember that troubled period. Archbishop Cardinal Francis Xavier Van Thuan was the Archbishop of Saigon. So when the communists took over in 1975, he was arrested. The church was persecuted. He was confined to prison for 15 years. 9 years in solitary confinement. Imagine. He said some days he would go for days without hearing a human voice. At times he felt a real darkness, struggling with his faith to believe, casting away the doubts. He had a hard time eventually even remembering the basic prayers because of that confinement. There's even a sense of anger. It's like, "Lord, why am I here in this cell when the people need me out there? I'm their bishop." Well, he said after he was released in 1991 through the intercession of Pope John Paul II, that he only survived by looking at Jesus crucified and the love he poured out with his blood unto the world and the Holy Eucharist. He recounted how friends would at times visit, and they'd bring him a vial of wine, which they said was a stomach medicine, and also a package of cigarettes, which had some hosts in it. So every day that he could, at 3 p.m., remembering Jesus died at 3, he would offer Mass, as best that he could remember. So he would take 3 drops of wine, he said, and a drop of water in the palm of his hand. He would place the host where his fingers were, and he would have Mass. And he said then that he knew Christ was with him. Christ came to share that suffering, and his suffering had purpose. Also, he would take some of the host that was consecrated and keep it in the tinfoil of the package, and he had like a little tabernacle in his cell. He said, "I felt a singular peace of spirit and of heart, and the joy of serenity of the companionship of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. You believe in one strength, the Eucharist, the Lord's body and blood that gives you life." So my brothers and sisters, the powers of hell could not break him because he knew he had Christ through that beautiful, miraculous gift, the Eucharist. So ponder this. Ponder this not only at this Mass this week. Take time to reread this Gospel of St. John and think of the beautiful gift. Christ comes to share himself, his love with us. He wants to share an intimacy with us. Take hold of that and remember, as Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. I will give my flesh for the life of the world." May God bless you. At this time now, we know that many of our young people are going to be going back to college. We recognize 5 of our senior servers who've been faithful servers since grade 4, who've been part of our parish. So we would like to have them come forward and recognize them with a special gift.